Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist.
Do you like that we can hear the sound of the woodwork?
Hadley the other day, she's like, I have to record the podcast tonight. And I said, or today. And she's like, don't you do that at night time? Like, I thought you guys were like around a fire. I said,
are you serious?
Yeah. And I was like, No, it's always during the day.
She's observant.
But we're supposed to be like we're sitting around a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe it's the new candle we have going on.
Or did she just think it was because we call it the Catholic Arsonist?
I don't know. She really knows what the word arsonist means. She is very smart. I'll ask her today.
Yeah. What was your intention with that question?
Yeah. What do you mean? I'm sure we've talked about it. Yeah, I don't know. Thank you. It's floral.
It is floral. Is it a Carmelite feast day?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, nope, it's not.
The past two Carmelite feast days, I haven't worn a floral sweater.
I was kind of disappointed.
It's hot, though.
Yeah. Not no mo.
Not no mo. Did I tell you where I was this past weekend?
Yeah. Tell me how it went.
In Denver. Yeah. Well, we won't talk about that one. I was thinking about that because St. Teresa of Avila's feast day was on Friday, which is like second only to Christmas itself in my book. And I was in Denver and I had to use four forms of transportation to get to Mass that day. Well, it wasn't to get to Mass. It was I drove to the airport. I flew a plane to Denver. Mm-hmm. I took a train to Union Station. Then I took a bus to this church, the cathedral down there, which is beautiful, but it's far less beautiful than our cathedral.
Props.
Felt like a traveler.
That's funny. Planes, trains, and automobiles. We'll get you there.
Anywho, what are we talking about today?
Well, it's just the ladies again.
Just the ladies.
I think we've come to see that maybe this is our podcast with the priest just
with
jumping
some extras.
In. Exactly. Every once in a while.
Yeah. We were walking over here and we were like, is this our thing now?
Yeah. Is this really happening? Have we made it?
No, they're still on it. It's just now Father Andrew's on retreat and Father Yates is back, but he's also catching up. So.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, the seminarian, we have working on things for us and we didn't want to overload him.
We did, but he said I can't. And we were like, fair.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, it's fine. So, yep, just me and Alyssa. So, welcome back to the Catholic Arsonist. I think a lot we've been thinking about is just prayer, it's just a constant thing.
Mm-hmm.
We sent out a video to our parish from our YouTube page that was all about prayer, and we had some good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Should I share the feedback we got?
Sure. Maybe don't say their name.
No, I won't do that.
Okay.
But someone approached Father Andrew after Mass one day last week and went up to him and was like, oh my goodness, I woke up at 3:00 in the morning and I couldn't go to sleep. So I decided to watch the video that you guys did on prayer. And I guess she was just so filled with the Holy Spirit and like itching to have a great prayer life, or I don't know what was going on, but she said she prayed until
8 a.m.
So we're like, wow, holy moly, this is amazing.
Praise God.
I know. Hopefully she threw some prayers up for us. I know she did, knowing who she is.
Right.
So we're like, okay, this is making an impact.
Yeah.
And as I was making the video, there were some things I had to cut out that I was like, well, I feel like they should still be talked about.
Right.
But maybe not on this video because it would make it longer than a lot of people's attention spans these days.
Yeah.
So.
And topics like this too, I get excited for because there are certain things like we want to share and cover and like little tidbits that we've received. But it's also like, I don't know about people who are listening or for you, but I remember like the first time that I started listening to people just have conversations about their own relationship with Jesus or like their own prayer life or the way that they encountered him in the scriptures, like through like a Bible study setting, we talk about those things. It's just like profound. Like you hear ways that the Lord speaks into people's lives or that he can speak that you've never experienced before sometimes. And so it's like, whoa, this God that I thought I knew is way bigger than I thought, you know? So I just always think it's cool, even with my friends who I know, like, what they're doing and what mission they have, and I sort of know what their prayer life looks like to just actually speak about what's going on with the Lord and them, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like human and cool, and
it's so amazing.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's the good thing about doing things with other people too, or being able to share your relationship with Jesus with others, as you seeing their aha moments, which kind of like gives you all the feels, all the warm, like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. We love Jesus.
Right.
So yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I think before we jump in, we just have to remember, we said this on the video, but so we're not giving you homework. We're going to kind of
give you a recap. We'll give you the spark notes.
Exactly. The spark notes of what's sparking prayer in us. We have to remember that our prayer is a relationship. And that's a two-way street. So when you're in prayer, you should be talking to him, Jesus, about things that are on your heart and your mind. Because what if Jesus only knew the things that you told him in prayer? How much would he actually know about you? So that's something we have to remember. And Emmeline went to Edge, which is our middle school youth ministry, and she came back with a question that was, do you feel like you're ever hiding anything from Jesus or God? And I was like, oh, that's so profound.
Only the deep stuff.
Only the deep stuff. I mean, this is like their second session too. They just jumped right in. Emmeline loved it though. So how did you even come up with that question for middle schoolers?
It was actually not me. It was one of the high schoolers who asked it. I wanted to play it a little cool. I'm not trying to get kids to run away, but apparently it's like, she no, they want to go there. Yeah. And I think it had a good response in that way. Mm-hmm. It was like, wait, I didn't even know that you could hide things from God. Right. Like we hear from a young age, Jesus is all powerful and all knowing and God knows everything about you. So we think like, well, I don't need to speak to him in the same way that I would like someone who I share everything with, like a best friend or a spouse or whatever that looks like, you know? So we just convince ourselves that like, well, he knows everything and then he remains at a distance, you know? Mm-hmm. So one of my high schoolers who also is an underclassman, you know, like not too long ago was in those same shoes, asked the question. I was like, you guys, you don't even need me. I'll just step away. Okay.
But I think it was so amazing because for her, Emmeline, she doesn't like when I talk about her on here, but
we love you, Emmeline.
She's in seventh grade, and for her eyes to already be opened about that relationship with Jesus, that you have to tell him what's on your heart. You have to be specific about the things you want to talk about, not just like, oh, you know what I'm here for, you know, all right, I'm going to go.
Right.
So, just keeping those lines of communication open and telling him, but then also being open to like actually receiving what he's saying.
Right. So. Yeah. And as you were just thinking that, I was like, what's so cool about this whole thing though, that like, it's so necessary that we tell him everything or like we don't hide anything. Like we don't have to tell him these things because he demands it of us. Like we have to tell him because we will crumble. like it is so necessary. And the Lord in his goodness knows this. Like it is so necessary for us to admit to ourselves, like where we're at, and like to speak it into existence. So it's like, it's not like he's like a demanding God who's like, tell me everything you've done so that I can punish you. But it's like, no, I want to speak into your life. And if you aren't aware of these things or like haven't voiced it, what am I to say? You know?
Yeah. Cause he wants to be there with you in the struggles and the joy. It's like, he's sharing his yoke with you. What is that? As scripture says, like, give me your burdens.
My yoke is easy and my burden light. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got to kind of offer it up to him. Tell him about it. So yeah, I think, is there anything we want to add to that part of the relationship?
The relationship. That could be a topic for forever. I'm thinking too, like, I'll say this. One of the first times I came back to a church after my sort of started going through my reversion, it wasn't a Catholic church. It was a non-denominational church, and it was really beautiful, and they have really good things going on there. But a man, like, it was like a Bible study night or something, and I'll never forget this. He looked at me and was like, he said something along the lines of, because I mentioned having grown up Catholic, but I didn't know what that meant at the time, like was not assenting to the church's teaching at all. So that's just the story setting. Okay. But he said, Christianity is about relationship, not religion. And that just struck me. And I was like, wait a minute, maybe I've just been raised in religion and I want relationship, you know, like that's, see, I've never got it right, which is why I don't like it. And see, now I'm free to have a relationship. And it's like, looking back on it now, I'm so grateful for that because it made me dive into it more of like, what do Catholics believe about prayer and like the point of worshiping God in Mass and all these things. And everything in Catholicism points towards having a relationship with God. Like it's actually like we say the purpose for which we've been made, like communion, you know? So our Protestant brothers and sisters do such a good job of like emphasizing being real and going to him and especially encountering him in the scriptures. But I think it's a misguided statement to say that the Catholic Church is simply religion and not relationship, you know? And it's like, well, religion is like what is due, like just, and what you guys are doing too is also religion. So, yeah, anyways, that's just a little thing I was thinking of.
Well, I like that you bring that up because, a lot of the reasons or one of the reasons that people state that they leave the Catholic Church is because they never felt that relationship with Jesus. And they can find that at the non-denominational.
Sure.
So is it like, are we lacking in helping people form the relationship?
Yeah.
Like, of course you can have a relationship here. And we have so many more amazing things that go with it than, you know, different ways to connect with Jesus, like through the sacraments and Mass and the Eucharist that brings you deeper into that relationship besides just prayer.
Yeah, I thought about this question a lot, especially when thinking about what the parish is. I think when we had Father Yates on, I mentioned this, but John Paul II says that the parish is the first school of prayer. And so I think the reason a lot of Catholics would maybe leave and say that, that they never experience relationship is because we as the parish, and not just like us who work at the parish, but also parishioners, like me as a parishioner, you know, have failed to teach one another how to actually pray and enter into relationship. And so it's easier to maybe go to some sort of service that, where you can assent because the music is like people are worshiping. And I believe like the Holy Spirit is sometimes present in those moments, you know, like where two or more are gathered, even if you're worshiping, like if it's not even a Mass, like I used to do that in college, like go over to someone's house for like praise and worship or something. And it's like the Holy Spirit's present there, you know? So, it's easier to sort of on the surface experience something there. And when you compare that maybe to having been raised without understanding what it looks like to pray or to actually have a relationship with someone who is both human and divine, it's easier to like walk away from that, I think. But that's why I'm excited. Like Shana, when I'm just going to keep going. when Shana was like, I just feel like we need to get back to the basics of prayer. And like, we talked about this at the end of summer, like what are we going to do with the parish this upcoming semester and year? And she was like, I really want to dive into prayer more. I was like, this is where everything has to begin, you know, like recommitting ourselves to actually going deeper and encountering God, not just in sort of the exterior events or like the smoke and lights and mirrors and other people, which is all good, but actually like a person-to-person encounter. Like that's the type of depth of prayer I want, you know? And a lot of these other tools that we rely on are good tools and they lead us to him, but to actually be like, no, Jesus, I know you and you know me. Make me a saint, you know?
And that's why I was like, this year is going to be the year we make like prayer warriors out of our parish and, you know, the people that listen to the podcast, because Father Andrew always said the best time to start praying was probably 20 years ago. The second best time is to start right now. So I think by doing this, people will realize that as Catholics, we do have that relationship with Jesus that we can well, work some on. Do.
Yeah.
Some, yes.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. It's something like we can develop. It's like at our fingertips.
Exactly. You know? Yes. Some yeah. have it. They need to share it.
Yeah.
Some would like more of it.
Me.
And some people need to be told that they can have that relationship here,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're here for. Exciting. So, yeah, I know. Then I thought we would talk about kind of our journey with our prayer life. Because, you know, we haven't been this smashing at prayer the whole time. Oh, wait, no, smashing. We're still working on it. We're still working.
I was going to say, I don't know if I've ever heard the word smashing by someone who's not from Britain, first of all. But also, I don't think my prayer is smashing, but maybe like crashing.
Yeah. Let's see. It ebbs and flows. Uh-huh. And sometimes you feel really good, and then you're like, oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah, that's like the human heart.
Exactly. And it's amazing. So, Alyssa, do you have a little prayer journey? Can you take us on a journey?
I can attempt. Yeah. I didn't, like, rehearse this beforehand, so this might be 12 years long. I'm not sure.
I'll cut you off.
But I have two memories from PSR growing up, one of which I will not name because it doesn't paint the church in a good light. nothing, like, inappropriate. I mean, it wasn't appropriate, but okay, anyways. It wasn't malicious. I'll say that. Anywho, and the other memory I have, and there I really had no grounds to even ask this question. Like, it was totally like a pure, like, I still don't even know why I remember this being asked, but someone had come in to speak to us. Don't know who it was. I don't even know what grade I was in. It's a good story. And I raised my hand, and she was speaking about prayer and like how we pray. And I raised my hand and asked her, like, with the kind of purity and innocence of a child, how do you know you can even hear the voice of God? And I don't remember what she asked or what she responded. I have no idea. Like, this is such a strange memory to have. But like, the Lord's brought it up to me in prayer now, that memory of me, like, as a young kid inquiring about how it is we can know him. So that's like, there's deep-seated desires within the human heart to actually encounter the eternal. And even when we don't even know what it looks like or what it is, like, it manifests, you know? So anywho, pagan, not praying, all those things. And then once I actually kind of had my reversion, thank you, Jesus. It's looked crazy different from season to season, year to year, but I'll say this in terms of the journey. Whenever you sort of have one foot in one lifestyle and one foot in the other, as I think, yeah, everyone has that to a certain degree because we're sinners. But I mean, when I was fresh off the pagan train, it was like really big time. Like, mm-hmm. Sunday is for Jesus and every other day is for me, you know? Which, yeah, that was crazy. But so prayer during that time, it's a lot of like journaling for me, and just like me talking or like me asking for things or me petitioning, and working with the teens. That's a lot of like, sort of the first type of prayer that we do is like asking when we need things. It's like, that's kind of childlike, you know, and then you mature and, can receive more, yeah, once things have been purified. But so yeah, I'd say a lot of prayer at the beginning, like one Lent that was transformative for me. This was my freshman year of college, still kind of pagan at this point. Okay. But going to mass regularly, which, yeah, is so beautiful. But one Lent, I was just like, I don't know what prompted this, but my kind of, thing that I took up, my practice that I took up, was each night, I would write in my journal three things that happened to me that day. It wasn't even like directed to Jesus. No. It wasn't like, dear God, like, thank you for these three gifts. Like, the word gift wasn't used. It was just like, these things happened to me today. To dear no one. Like, this is, which, like, praise Jesus. That's what he wants to hear about, though, is like, mm-hmm. what's happening in your life, which now I can look back and see that and how he worked in that. But, and then from there, like, yeah. So I'll try to make this more succinct, but going from more discursive prayer, like me just speaking at him and really petitioning and like treating him sort of like a gumball machine, to becoming more like examinative, what's more like finer tuned. I'm not sure. Like you just start to, the things that you begin to talk about or write about in prayer, all of a sudden, like you look at them closer and things begin to be revealed about you. And so then it's like desires come up and things that you couldn't see beforehand about maybe how you've been made or, the way that your personality relates to how you're being called to holiness and all those things. It's like, okay, now you're showing me more of myself. It's like that line. I think this is also JP too, but, like man finds himself in a sincere gift of himself. Right. But he also says like in coming to know the person of Christ, we come to know ourselves. That's a paraphrase, but, so yeah, it's like you grow in knowledge and then things become clearer as to what you're being asked of, as to what he's asking of you. So yeah, I would say from there, like my junior year of college, that's the first time I encountered the Carmelites. And, when I so associate them with, contemplative prayer, which I think is their like part of their charism, but, prayer is, and yeah, they, the intimacy that is capable with the person of Jesus, like encountering the writings of John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila, that sort of like changed everything too. So, I'm not like at a succinct place now. Like yeah. I really, and I hope I never am. Like, I hope I never get the feeling that I've arrived, which I think is dangerous. Yeah. Yeah. So, but it has matured and there's more to say about what that maturation and purification and illumination looks like and all those things, but, transformation, but tell me your journey.
Well, just listening from yours before we started the podcast, today, she's like, oh, I wish I had my journals with me.
I know.
And it's such like a beautiful thing that she has those to look over, like a concrete thing to look at, like, oh my gosh, look at me. I don't want to say 10 years ago because you're not that old.
Oh,
like
it's so embarrassing.
5 years ago. And look how I've changed so much. And just to know that that's like a constant thing. So then I was thinking about mine. I was like, yeah, I've grown in prayer. Like we always do the bedtime prayers and the mealtime prayers. And I was like, this is good. I pray. What are you talking about? I say an Our Father, parking angel prayer, you know, when you're
parking
trying to find
angel,
your,
I've never
you're
heard
trying
that.
To find your spot, the parking angel, and there it appears.
That sounds kind of like hocus pocusy.
It is. Again, someone's like, you're supposed to pray to Saint Anthony for that. I was like,
oh yeah, him.
He's a good one too. But in just thinking about my journey and listening to Alyssa speak, I'm like, wow, I've really become kind of blessed in the job that I do here. Because I do have to say when I started doing the things that I do, starting off as a volunteer, I was very, like, I just had like my reversion, after my dad passed away and then jumping into like, I am not going to like forget about the nudges and just jumping into my faith and wanting to share that with other people. And I would have to say, I really knew nothing. Like I was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to lead me. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Praise.
I don't have any, like anything behind it. So,
but I can plan a banger event.
Exactly. So then working for the parish, I think one of the things I'm realizing that I love is that I get to grow with our parishioners. Like I can still relate to the person that has like no relationship at all, but I can also relate to the person who's still growing in the relationship. And yeah, I don't have like anything concrete. It's just know that it's, I'm still working on it and I'm kind of diving deeper into learning how to pray. And I think I'm at the point of finding the time that works for me because going into it, you know, if I did journaling, I try to do journaling all the time. And if I tried to look back now, I have like 5 different journals from 5 different years. I'm like, it'd be nice if I would have just put all these together or, you know, I think it's just being a mom, not carrying the one, the same one with me every time. But I just, yeah, I would love to look back on that and see it. I just lost my train of thought. But
yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
As you were speaking, I was thinking of when you said, like, I'm also on the way. This has been profound to consider in these past couple of years, but that it is, like, having a relationship with Jesus, if it is authentic, you will never essentially, like, arrive, because he's, like, the Father is inexhaustible, right? And, like, Jesus has come to reveal, the Father's love to us. And so it's, like, how can you ever have arrived at that which is inexhaustible, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I love when he refers to himself in scripture as, I am the way and the truth and the life. So it's like, who you're considering yourself like a journey, like he is a continual movement towards the Father. And so it's like being in relationship with him is being close with a continual movement towards the Father. So it's like, yeah, we can't ever arrive with prayer. And that's why it gets me so excited talking about this in parish life, because I think one of the great temptations of people who have been faithful for so long and for so many years is, like, I know the drill. I know, like, when I have to pray, or I know what Lexio is, and we can sort of, like, and I know what the mass parts are, and we can get in our head that we've sort of arrived and we're doing it because we're on the XYZ committee and we're getting volunteers and we're leading this. And it's like, but the way, like the way and the truth and the life wants to gaze upon you. And it's like, what? Mm-hmm. That is so, I hope I'm never over it. Like, it's hard to fathom for me. And I truly am in awe of it, but mm-hmm. I'm rambling now because I'm talking about the Lord. Okay, go on.
It's so beautiful. So yeah, I think it'd be great if everyone kind of thought about what their prayer journey was and where you are at this time now. Mm-hmm. Obviously we've discovered we can't just arrive and be done and be the perfect prayers. Mm-hmm. But it's also important for you to figure out what type of prayer or what process of prayer is better for you. So I know throughout, I've tried many types of prayer. I've done the rosary and I was like, I like the rosary, but it wasn't something I can consistently do like every day. And so I felt like I was at a point like, oh, I can't do it. So I'm just not going to pray today. And I was like, this is not working. This is not working for me. I did a lot of research on different types of prayer. And now I think I've just kind of settled on reading the scriptures for the day is like where I find my fun time in prayer and doing my Bible study. Because I just asked the Lord to talk to me and like the daily gospels and try to pull out and work from that. So I see like being kind of type A, I'm like, God, you've already set up for me how you want me to pray. This is perfect. Now, what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah.
Should we talk about some different types of prayer? Or do you have a way that you like to pray that you want to share?
I'll say this. I think you should go into the different types. And she sort of touched on this in the video. So this might be some double dipping with some more details, but if you watch the video. But I think there's not, and I might have mentioned this in the video, there's not like one correct way, but there is some sort of discernment that comes in on your part as the prayer, like, is this working for me or is it not? And so it's like, I don't think Shane is saying that the rosary, therefore, like if you get discouraged, we shouldn't pray it, but it's like, actually the spirit of discouragement is not of the Lord. So, Lord, what are you asking of me in this time? And like trusting that like wherever we are and however like easy certain steps become or if we think we're just starting out or we're more mature in our prayer lives, like he is trying to encounter us. And so it's like, what will lead to that encounter? And Lord, I trust you that you love me if I am not capable of fulfilling this prayer that I thought would make me better, you know? Because that's the whole thing is like we get in our mind these images of what we're supposed to look like. And it's like, no, but where are you? Like, allow the Lord to encounter you where you are rather than like being Thomas Aquinas and then failing and being frustrated with ourselves. So
Yes. You will find your own way, mm-hmm. and he'll be there with you.
And it will transform, too, as you grow in intimacy with him. So it's just mm-hmm. like a constant awareness of where you're at and what he's doing and vice versa.
I love it. I keep coming back to self-awareness of, I feel like everything we've been talking about for like the past 4 weeks now, mm-hmm. it's like that's what keeps coming into my mind. And I'm trying to be more self-aware about everything mm-hmm. that we do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
It's called human formation. That was 4 episodes ago. All right. So we'll jump into kind of like some types of prayer. And it's going to be, once again, like the Spark Notes version. But one of my favorite ones, I'm sure you can get kids to grasp onto this one too, because it has a fun name. But you think of it at, people call it the pirate prayer, because it sounds like R. This is, because everyone knows what a pirate's, it's A-R-R-R.
Everyone knows what a pirate sounds like.
It's not arg, just R. And I like to think of this as kind of a reflection time between you and Jesus. And you take some quiet time and kind of acknowledge that you're sitting there with him. And then you think about like all of your thoughts that come to mind when you're just kind of having like this silent time. It's very difficult to do it sometimes, but just acknowledge that you're sitting there with him mm-hmm. and bring everything that's on your heart to him.
And also, like you just said, acknowledging what you are going through in life, mm-hmm. like being self-aware, and that's what you are acknowledging, mm-hmm. you know, before him, like acknowledging him and acknowledging your feelings in front of him, you know?
Yes. I like that. And if you're not getting anything, maybe just sit there a little bit longer and just like, I would say break down those walls.
Yeah.
Like,
pull the antenna a little bit
higher. Exactly. Nothing's coming up. So yeah, just share that with him. Everything that's on your heart. And then next you want to relate. So you're going back, you shared with him, we said, break down those walls, let him see like everything's in that's inside of you, all the mess. Don't hold anything back. Cause why would you, like I always say, you shouldn't feel ashamed with God. Mm-hmm. Like that's maybe you tell your best friend something and you feel ashamed telling them. But with God, he's like, I just love you. I love you. And I love that you're talking to me about this. Even though it may be difficult. It's okay to cry during prayer too. Just praise. Get into the nitty gritty. So you acknowledge, you relate, and then you receive. And I think this is probably one of the, well, the last one's difficult always. But these next two are probably the most difficult, is being able to quiet yourself and to receive what he has to tell you from what you've told him. Mm-hmm. Like this is where he's going to get into your heart and try to help you kind of look at what you've brought to him in a different light. And I'm going to say if he like, it's going to be hard because you're not going to maybe hear everything or you're not going to hear what you want to hear. And
yeah. A lot of the times.
Exactly. And that's where you do your reality check of like, you want to do God's will, not our own will.
Right.
And that's where the difficulty comes in. Remembering that it's his will that you want to be done and not yours. Because we want to be one with him. Then lastly, you want to respond. That means whatever you've learned in this time of prayer with him through this process of acknowledging, being there with him, telling him your thoughts, and then receiving back. You want to respond to it. Because if a friend asked you to do something and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. And then you never do it. Are you really responding to that advice that they gave you? Mm-hmm. And know that God will always put peace into you. So you shouldn't be scared if something was revealed into prayer that would bring back a peace, like peace of mind and inner peace, then, you know, you just need to share it, mm-hmm. like go back out there because he'll have your back, as I like to say, mm-hmm. like he wouldn't let you do it alone. It may be always in small, not like one giant thing. Mm-hmm. I think we're always in a culture of we want it now and this is how it's going to happen. And when he reveals things in little tiny ways, you know,
don't get discouraged.
Exactly. Yeah. We get very frustrated because they're like, no, we wanted the answer like yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's a process. And he always takes the long way.
Yeah.
So don't get discouraged.
Yeah. I think it's easy to kind of get into the mindsets of like, okay, it's just a 4-step process. But and that's with this, it's with Acts or even Lexio. It's like, well, meditatio or atio, yeah, exactly. Contemplatio, yeah, like all these things. And it's like, well, boom, 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 now I'm holy, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but I think it's cool, like this type of prayer, these 4 steps, at least my own sort of like kind of trying to attempt this, it is by its very nature relational, because it involves 2 persons and you are conveying something to someone and then they're conveying something to you. Like in the same way that Shane and I like sit at a table and have a conversation, it's like I'm acknowledging her presence before me and like what is on my chest that I want to share with her, or like this idea I have or this thing I'm afraid of, and I share it to her. And she considers it and responds to me, right? And then from this like dialogue, I can make a decision about my life or go forward. Or so it's like we can use this with Jesus in the smallest little things. Like where it's become really beautiful and healing is to pray this way after like feeling anxious after a conversation, you know? And it's just like a quick like a few minutes that I'm just like considering in my head, like, okay, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling it? Jesus, this is making me anxious. And then like being not afraid, like I'm the way, the truth, and like whatever mm-hmm. he wants to give to me, and being like, okay, now I can go on and like be present to the teens because I'm not worried about X, Y, Z, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, so that's like a really succinct thing, but it's also like the whole journey of the Christian life. Like I'm acknowledging before God who, like his presence and that he is good and all powerful, and relating this knowledge of him to him. Like I know you and I want to know you, and these are my desires for my life, and then receiving the love that he has to give me in return, and then responding to that love. Like that's a vocation, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like in one conversation, you can, after one conversation with someone that makes you uncomfortable or sad or joyful, like you can pray this way. And out of the biggest desires of your heart, like you can pray this way, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just like really human and relational, which I has mm-hmm. been so healing for me, you know?
Yeah. I like that you pointed that out. Like and just in those tiny situations of when you feel the anxiety, you're like, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah.
Help me.
Self-awareness.
Yes, exactly. Constant prayer.
Yeah.
It's where you got to be in.
Yeah. I love it.
Yes. So some other... We really like acronyms because they're easy to remember things.
It is.
We also have REM, which is remain in me. Mm-hmm. And then Alyssa also says relationship.
For the record, it's not Alyssa that Alyssa says this.
No.
Don't trust it if it's Alyssa that says it. Relationship, identity, mission.
Yes. So and that's beautiful too.
Yeah. So this one, it's not necessarily like a steps towards prayer or like a structure of prayer, but it's kind of just like, what is prayer in the role of our lives? What is a relationship with God in the span of our lifetime? And I'll be quick with this because I go into more detail in the video, but it's just an acronym. The Institute of Priestly Formation comes up with this, saying that the whole desire of the human heart is to remain with God. Like Jesus's desire, remain in me as I remain in you. Like that's John 15. I'm the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole purpose of our life is to just like dwell with God, remain in him. And so, yeah, we're talking about ways to do that. And then over time, it's like the whole goal of our life is to stay with him. Like in not just when we go to pray at Mass and then go to pray when we have our set aside prayer time and then go to pray as we like add these other things on, like not just having succinct moments of prayer, but like that our whole life becomes a prayer, because when I go to the grocery store or I don't know, to work or wherever it is to get my kids from practice, it's like I'm with the Lord. Like I'm just a loving attentiveness to his presence. And it doesn't mean this would be impossible, I think, for human beings to be like every thought you ever have is always Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like he desires that we would come out of ourselves and like speak with others. But it's just like, an attentiveness to where he's at in the moment. like in the room, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. So remain in me is, it's having this relationship from the place of relationship, receiving our identity out of love, like not just that I'm a youth minister, but even more central to my identity and my existence is like, I am a beloved daughter. And even before that, like beloved, like mm-hmm. I'm loved. And that's something that is oftentimes hard to receive from other people, especially if there's a lot of woundedness or like a lack of trust in God or whatever sort of comes up from the wounds we have from our life. That's a place to really sit with, like, Jesus, who am I? How have you made me? Can you please, like, this thing happened and it keeps coming up and I'm remembering this moment of like deep sin and like, who do you say that I am, Lord? Like receiving our identity, and then from the place of belovedness and like the stable foundation of love going forward in mission. So relationship precedes identity, identity precedes mission. And the whole point of it is like when this is flipped on its head, when we live myrrh instead of rim, that's the temptation of most Americans is that like, I'm going to go and do and perform and get what's mine and make a name for myself that will tell me who I am. So it's like, I'm a big businessman and I have all this money and all these, this is like classic example, whatever, stereotypical, but, and that means like I'm powerful and successful and whatever. And then if there's some time left over at the end of our life, we're like, okay, who's important to me? Chances are no one is as important to you as you yourself are, which mm-hmm. is like a whole life of selfishness. So the whole invitation is like to flip it around, to live a deep intimacy with another person that reveals who we are, because identity is always revealed in the context of relationship. And then that tells us what we are meant to be in the world and like what we're meant to do in the world.
Mm-hmm. Just gets you fired up, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, oh, so
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And that could be, again, big scale, like large scale vocationally. This is how you've made my heart. Therefore, I'm going to be a bomb mother and like mm-hmm. rock star mom. Or this is how you've made my heart and like I am going to be consecrated to you, Lord. Or this is how you've made my heart for others and for fatherhood. And so I want to be a priest. Like vocationally it works. Or mm-hmm. what are you asking of me when I go have this meeting for XYZ? Like who am I in this situation? You know, how can I do what you're asking of me, mission in this space? So it fires me up.
There you go. It all begins with that relationship.
Yes.
And as we're talking about this, we're, like we said at the beginning, our journey, it's not going to be perfect. Like we definitely have our struggles. A lot of times when I struggle in prayer, it's often like the dryness, like I talked about, like I just pray and I pray and I pray and I'm not getting anything back. And I'm just like, I just give up. I just give up because in society, like you said, you just want the answer now. But he's working on my patience. I constantly pray for patience, and I'm pretty sure that's how he's giving it to me. And then I think the next struggle that I have with prayer would just be to actually respond and open my ears to what he has to tell me. And I'm just like, because it's that constant battle between what's my will and what's God's will. Mm-hmm. And that's what I had to ask myself constantly when doing things is like, is this my will or is this God's will? So those are some of my struggles that I have. Do you have any struggles? Any?
Yes.
Yes.
It's the same. Like, it's because it's a relationship.
Exactly.
It just turns out that I'm usually the one that's at fault. I would say a struggle with prayer is like a general lack of desire oftentimes, you mm-hmm. know? That could be from my own fallenness and from, I mean, it certainly is like my own humanity, but a lot of the time it's just like, I myself am inconsistent. So therefore like the less you do something, sometimes the less you want to do it until you hit a place where it's like you're drowning.
Yeah.
I would say, and in those moments, like my general lack of desire, I need to come back to like, okay, Lord, what is true? What is real? What's true is that you love me and you're designed to reveal yourself to me. And I wish to respond to it. Like I know I don't in this moment want to, but I want to want to. So please like give me that small grace because yeah, this is as much for me as it is for you. Like this is a relationship. And so I don't want to leave you hanging or like be selfish with that. So how teach me to come out of myself and like sacrifice to go pray, you know? Mm-hmm. So, another one I would say, I only have 5 written down.
Just five.
So this was a line from St. Teresa of Avila, but she says, sin and contemplative prayer cannot coexist. Sin and contemplative prayer cannot coexist. And so I would say this kind of classifies my life post-conversion. It's mm-hmm. like the reason there was really no depth in prayer is because I was still like rooting out a lot of sin in my life. Mm-hmm. The Lord was, by his grace, purifying those things. So and that's not just like a cute way that the church says like, you can't be a saint in sin, but it's like, no. In your humanity, if you are enslaved to things of the flesh or things that are literally death, like death to your spiritual life, you cannot be in communion. That's why we call it like out of grace, like not mm-hmm. in a state of grace. It's like you are cut off from grace by your own doing, your own choosing. So it's not like a mean thing, like, it's hard to do this, but it's like, no, it doesn't exist. It cannot coexist. So that's part of it. You know, yeah. It's like the prayer comes like, Lord, purify me, like blessed are the pure of heart for they shall see God. Right. Like blessed are those who don't sin so that they can contemplatively pray, mm-hmm. which is always a gift. Like contemplative prayer is always initiated by God. Okay. So anyways, the third one I had is desolation, which I'd say there's sort of like, at least in my life, I recognize 2 types. One is where I am just like not about it. And then I'm like, I'm just like having a dry patch. Like I can't, prayer is just not good right now. And it's like, well, have you like prayed? No. so that's part of it. You know, it's like Father Martin one time, this was before I even worked with him, but this was at Steubenville. And when I was in college, I was a chaperone for another parish, and someone asked him about the dark night of the soul. This was a teenager, the dark night of the soul and like desolation, Mother Teresa, all those things. And he said, yeah, most of you aren't going through that. He was like, said something along the lines of like, yeah, you guys probably aren't experiencing the dark night. You're just experiencing the lack of will to pray. And I was like, oh shoot. He's right.
Just called you out.
Like we think we're being like high and mighty spiritual. And it's like, no, but like, praise God, those things do come. And so that's the, I would say the other type of desolation is like when he is testing you in a good way and not in a distrustful way, but a way that's like if all the sentimentality and the feelings and the fuzziness and the fun part of prayer and knowing who I am, if that's all gone, like, could you still bear this cross with me? Like, could you still be with me in the darkness? You know, it's like sometimes the answer is no. Mm-hmm. And that's where the purification comes in. Like, Lord, I want to be with you. But, so yeah, desolation, hard topics and confusion. Shana touched on this, but I think one of the hardest things are those 2 R's in the middle of R. Like after you acknowledge, I think it's oftentimes difficult to relate. Like we just get super spiritually, for lack of a better term, constipated. And we're just like, nothing is flowing. But we ourselves shut down. We're like, I don't know how to just share this with you. Mm-hmm. This was my prayer this morning. I'll be honest about that. It's like, Lord, there's a lot of confusion surrounding this thing. And like, I don't know how to give it to you. So I'm just going to like place it at your feet because I don't know how to even articulate what is happening right now, you know? So yeah, especially with suffering and things of that nature, I think we convince ourselves that God knows. It's like, yeah, but he aches for us to share it with him. Mm-hmm. So relating, and then we sort of touched on this, but a struggle is like the illusion that I've arrived, right? Mm-hmm. So especially working for the church or like when teens ask me about prayer, it's like, well, let me tell you what I know. And it's like, no, but you're on the journey too. Yeah. So,
journeying together.
Yeah. So that's the 5 I could think of right now.
I love it. And I think it'd be good, you know, not to end on this point, but say, hey, these are some how did you say it? Like game changers yeah. of how we get back into kind of help us come alive again or get sure. us excited.
Or like things in our life that have helped happened. Us to pray. Or, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think things that have helped me to pray are if I go to like, a speaker or something, sometimes it just like revives me. I'm like, yes, this is why I'm here. This is the mission that I have set before me is to share this love that I have. I think that's like my main thing. I think if I could go on a retreat, I need to do the whole retreat thing because I'm like that. It wakes me back up with the Holy Spirit again. Or if I'm reading something in scripture, I'm like, yes, that's what I was looking for. Just makes it a little bit more exciting. Hmm. Yeah, that's what I can think of.
Nice.
I just look at the tiny moments. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, there we go. Those I'm back good. At it. I'm back at it.
Yeah. Nice. For me, I was thinking of some game changer moments or seasons. One of my friends in college, I was talking to her about kind of the consistency of prayer or lack thereof. And the whole classic line of, and I even hear this here sometimes, so I forgive me. Well, actually, don't forgive me because this is real.
It needs to be heard again.
It needs
and again.
To be heard. Yeah. So, but the line of like, just start with like a minute, 5 minutes. One of my friends in college looked me dead in the eye and said, Alyssa, do you know what we give 5 minutes of our day to? And I was like, what?
Tell me.
Things we don't care about. Like, we give 5 minutes of our day to things we could literally care less about, but have to get done. And it's like, that's not a relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying go out and start praying a holy hour.
Yeah,
that's something that is worked up to in the Lord's goodness. But like, could we like maybe alter a part of our busy schedule to fit in time that actually allows us and allows Him to encounter one another? Mm-hmm. Like, could we award ourselves that? And so that's just, I don't know what that looks like for your life or if that means scripture in the morning or waking up maybe 20 minutes before the kids get up or
even at night instead of watching a show, like we said.
Yeah.
Just, you know, take some time to pray.
Yeah. Or going for a walk and being outside and like having that space to become self-aware and like what's bothering me. So, yeah, we give 5 minutes to things that we don't care about. So,
I've never heard of it like that.
No, isn't that the worst? But also it's convicting. And I was like, okay,
good, yeah,
I need to pray. It sort of goes back to our priorities podcast where we were like, I might have even said it then, but anyways,
I don't remember that.
I was probably waiting for a rainy day. Today's the day.
Today?
I would say other things, accompaniment with others. So it's like, if you're going to get serious about being in relationship with someone, you want to share that with other people and like be like, am I crazy for thinking this or like this happened? Should I, you know? So like people you trust, people that like could hold your heart in their hands and like not crush it or not ignore it, you know, and just be like, this is what's going on in my relationship. Like, could you challenge me? Could you, could you hold me accountable as I like try to work through this reoccurring sin? Like having someone who's on your team, to share that with. And then other things like Interior Castle from Teresa of Avila and Discernment of Spirits, which we won't get into now because we've talked about Discernment of Spirits yet before, but just like understanding the way that the Spirit works in terms of our prayer life. And like, that really helps with, okay, is this the voice of God? Is this my voice? Is this the evil one's voice? Like, because all three are out to play.
Exactly.
So,
who am I hanging with?
Who am I hanging with right now? Me, most of the time.
Yeah. Well, that was great.
That was fun.
We did it again. So I hope, if nothing else, you learn that you could have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And the best day to start is right after we end this podcast, if you haven't started already.
That's right. I also want to add, I was just thinking about this. A lot of you who listen are parishioners here, but I mean, we have an email and everything too. So it's like, if you're hearing this and you don't know where to start or like just want to share with someone struggles you've had or things like that, like that's what we're here for. We're not here to like make a podcast. We're here to like accompany you all in prayer and your relationship. So reach out to us. Like, Yeah, and we're praying for you guys.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of my game changers too, is hearing other people letting us know how we can help you. Because if we can help you, you could probably help us.
That's true.
And I'm happy. So happy. All right. Well, thank you, Alyssa.
Thanks, Shane.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.